some paper clips on the altar up here. That is a wonderful thing, a testimony to some victories won here in our church and some goals being met. And so you continue to be faithful, getting those flyers out for the big event tomorrow, and let's eagerly anticipate what God is going to do amongst us with as friends come in, and we have opportunity to fellowship around some free food, and well, free to them, and fellowship around those things, and hear the message of hope that will be shared tomorrow. Please take your Bibles and turn to Romans. Let's go to Romans tonight for part of our time. We'll skip around to a few different passages here as we look at this subject here tonight. Romans chapter 1 is where we'll begin. Romans chapter 1. I was driving through Hershey today, and I came upon something that was very curious and also heartbreaking. I was going through a certain part there in Hershey where there's several traffic lights, and the traffic was very busy. It was in the middle of the day, but early afternoon, and yeah, there were just cars everywhere going through that area. And, you know, you get through the first green light, and you land right in the red light that's right beyond it, and you need to stop, and everyone's kind of, you know, frantic, and some people are in a hurry, and some people are going slower than they want, than other people want, and that's the situation I was making my way through. And right about in the middle of that passageway where all the cars were going through, I came upon this thing that was very interesting, but also heartbreaking. I saw cars in front of me swerving, and I thought, oh, what's that? And then I looked on the road, and there were a bunch of little yellow fuzzballs kind of popping around like that on the road, and I thought, what is that? And I looked closer, and they were a bunch of little ducklings, and there was, I don't know, maybe a dozen of them. I was like, wow, that is a lot for one little duck family there. But there they are. They're all running around, popping around. And I saw right in the middle what had happened. And there was their mother. The mother duck was laying on her back, and feathers were blowing in the wind, and she had been hit and killed. And so these little ducklings were just popping all around, and cars were going by, and I was making my way through as well. And I'm not an animal lover. So don't send me emails of cat pictures and things like that, because I'll probably just delete them. Thank you, though, for them if you send them. I'm not trying to be mean in that. I'm not that kind of a person. Some people, they really love their pets and their animals, and that's okay. And some people, God has really given a heart to be able to reach out to not just humans in need, but even animals who are needy. And the Lord uses that to touch other hearts, and that's good. But I'm not very much of an animal lover. I like venison. It tastes great. But some people love animals more than me, is what I'm saying. And I saw those little ducklings, and my heart did break for them. I thought, wow, look at that. There are some little ducklings just popping all around there. They have no idea what's going on. They have no idea. They're blind to all the danger around them. Cars are going around and maybe some over them, and they're dodging the tires and all that, and they're just clueless. They're without hope. There's those little ducklings. Some of them are going to be run over very soon. Some of those little ducklings will probably fall down into the ditch on the side of the road and starve to death. And I was thinking about these things as I was driving through and making my way. My heart broke for them. And some of those little ducklings, they may be taken away by hawks or something. And even now, probably many of those little ducklings are dead. And I was thinking about that and how my heart was breaking for these little guys, feeling for them. And I thought, you know, if any of us saw that situation, probably all of us driving by, we're all feeling for these little ducklings. It's a very sad situation to behold. And we encounter some situations like that at times, and our hearts break, our hearts are hurt. Our hearts are tender toward that thing in need, whether it's an animal or whatever. And tonight I wonder, do our hearts break for souls as we would for maybe those little ducklings? Because of the fact of the matter is, we are surrounded by people who are without hope. We are surrounded by people, souls, who, much like those little ducklings, they're blind to the dangers that are just around the corner for them in life. People who don't realize the danger that they are in because they are sinners before a holy God. And I wonder, do our hearts break for them? Our hearts will break for little ducklings. Our hearts will break for little kittens and the little birds in the nest who maybe lost their mother. It's natural for our hearts to break for those things, and that's a good thing. But what about the souls around us, Faith Bible Church? Will our hearts break for them? Here in this passage in Romans chapter 1, we see Paul, the apostle, how burdened he was to be preaching the gospel. And he said that he was ready to preach the gospel. He wanted to preach the gospel. Why is the gospel so important? Why did he want to preach this and tell it to other people so much? Well, because the gospel is the answer that the world needs. The gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, Jesus Christ, that very controversial figure in history, that individual who truly did live many years ago, that Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of that man, Jesus Christ, is the gospel. And that is what he was burdened to share with other people. Why was he so burdened? And why should we be burdened to share that message with those who need to hear it? He was ready to do it. And tonight I'd like to preach a message entitled, Why Are You Not Ready? Why are you not ready? Are you ready? Ask yourself that question tonight. Am I ready, like Paul was, to preach the gospel? The gospel is so important and everyone needs to hear it. Are you ready to preach the gospel? I want us to first think about how the harvest is ready. And then I want us to think about how the gospel itself is ready. And also then the Lord is ready. And then ask ourselves finally then the question, am I ready to be preaching this gospel? Let's notice the passage here in Romans chapter 1, and we'll see what Paul said about how he was ready to preach the truth of the gospel. Let's begin reading in verse 8. He said there, Romans chapter 1, verse 8, First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Who is he speaking to? He was speaking to these Roman believers. He was writing a letter to them, and he was thanking God for their faith and how many people around the world had heard of them, how faithful they were. Verse 9, For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, he said. Well, I'll tell you, tonight I can really relate to that in Paul saying that, because there's many times where I'm journeying, and I think of you folks back here at Home and Faith Bible Church, how I long to see you. I say that from the bottom of my heart. It's true. We think often, I wish we could go back there and see everyone. I wish we could have a reason to be going through Mount Joy, Pennsylvania. And so Paul was saying that about those believers here in Romans, back in the city of Rome. He wanted to meet them. He wanted to see them. He said in verse 11, For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you. He wanted to be encouraged through Christian fellowship. And why? Well, it says, by the mutual faith, both of you and me. You see, that's what the bond, that's how the bond was created between him and them. It was the bond found in Jesus Christ. When two people put their trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, there's a special bond there. There's a fellowship that other people don't have who don't have that. And so you know that is true in your heart and in theirs, and that creates a special unity, and Paul mentioned that here. Verse 13, Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto. He wasn't able to do it. That I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. So he wanted to go there, and he wanted to minister, and he wanted to see fruit there in that place, just as in other places. And then he said this, verse 14, I am debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So you see, Paul said this statement, I am ready. And I want to ask you, friend, tonight, who may know the Lord, why are you not ready to preach this wonderful news? The good news that the world needs to hear. The good news that those souls who are without hope as the little ducklings, the good news that will fix the problems that they are encountering in life, that will fix the sin problem that they have within them. That news that Jesus Christ already took their place and paid for their sins. Why would you not be ready tonight to share that gospel? I want you to notice that, first of all, the harvest is ready. The harvest is not the problem. The souls that are out there, they are not the problem in this issue. They are ready to be hearing this good news. The harvest is ready. Take your Bibles and turn over to John 4, verse 35. A familiar verse right over there. John 4, verse 35. The Bible teaches us that the problem here is not with the harvest. The harvest is ready tonight. It's ready for the gospel to be preached to it. The souls that are out there without hope, that are doomed right now because of their sin, they are ready to be hearing this gospel. John 4, verse 35. The Bible says, well, let's skip up to verse 31. Excuse me. And also notice, first of all, this is chapter 4 where Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well. You remember? And he witnessed to her and told her what she needed was living water. And he was that living water. He was the answer to the problems in her life. And so now verse 31, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. You see, that's what brought Jesus satisfaction, was to be preaching the gospel and doing the will of God. Now verse 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And I picture this in my mind as the multitude was coming to Jesus, and he said, look at the field. There it is, the field of the multitude there. As they were coming out of the city and the woman was directing them toward Jesus, he said, look at those people. The multitude, the harvest, it is white already. The harvest is ready tonight. Friends, we need to understand that, yes, we're going to encounter people that don't want to hear the good news. They don't believe it's the good news. They don't believe it's the answer to their problems, even though the Bible says it is. We're going to encounter people in our lives that reject Jesus Christ, that reject that they're sinners and they need a Savior. But we will also encounter many people and many souls who are doomed, who are without hope, who are ready. The harvest is white there, and they want to hear it, and they will accept it. The harvest is ready tonight. I want to ask you, do you believe that? The truth is, we only have to continue to give the gospel, and eventually you'll harvest something. The harvest is ready, friends. And so we see in John 4, verse 35, that we must lift up our eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. But also, flip over to Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. And here we see, once again, this truth that the harvest is ready. The problem is not with the harvest. It is ready today for the fruit to be picked. Look at verse 37 there at the end of chapter 9. The Bible says there, "Then saith he," Jesus, "unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Notice that word plenteous. Friends, that is what the Bible says about those souls around us. And that is not specific to a certain region in the world. That's not talking about the Philippines or Madagascar or Turkey or somewhere in the world that is plenteous there. No, the Bible is talking about the harvest as a whole, all over the world. And the Bible says that it is plenteous. The harvest is ready, friends. Right here in our community, there are souls who are ready to accept Jesus Christ tonight. They just need to hear the gospel. And so, are you ready? So we see that the harvest is ready, but also I want you to notice back in Romans chapter 1 that the gospel is ready. The gospel is ready. This is a simple truth that many of us know already, but Paul said there in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." And so the gospel there is the power of God. It's the gospel that has power contained within it to lead men and women to salvation, to lead them to recognize they are without hope. They are sinners, and they need the Savior Jesus to cleanse them of their sins. And so the gospel itself has power built in. It is the power of God unto salvation, and it is ready to be shared. It is ready to become the remedy for the sin problem of our world. So we see the gospel is ready. It's the power of God. The gospel is the good news. And I want us to make sure we understand what that good news is specifically here tonight. Now, I mentioned already that the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's think about all that together here for a little bit. First of all, the death. Well, how did that all come about? Well, the Bible teaches us that Jesus, God's only begotten Son, came to this earth. We celebrate it at Christmas time as a little baby. He was born of the Virgin Mary. Now, Mary was the woman that God chose to bless with this job of bringing God into the world as the baby Jesus. Mary was just another human like you and I. Mary wasn't special beyond that she was just picked by God to carry and deliver this baby, Jesus. Mary, through her own confession, was a sinner just like you and I. And there's some people in the world that they will pray to Mary, they will lift Mary up, but Mary wasn't the answer. And she herself said that she needed a Savior in the book of Luke. And so Mary was the one that God used to bring Jesus, the little baby Jesus, into the world. And Jesus, the Bible teaches us, is God. He is God. And so Jesus was born as a baby. We celebrate at Christmas time, born in Bethlehem. And Jesus, the little baby, grew up into a young man. He lived a normal life, but he was a very obedient young man. And that was abnormal. I can look at my own children and tell you that's a certainty. And so he was a very obedient young man. He obeyed his parents. He did the will of God. He grew up through his teenage years, got up to about 30 years old, and that is when his public ministry began. And Jesus, God, began to go around and preach good news. He began to go around and teach something that was very different than the religious leaders of his day. He began to teach things that they looked at and said, that's heresy or that's blasphemy. And everybody began to turn on the teachings of Jesus, even though this was God himself teaching the multitudes. Many people believed his teachings, but many people rejected them as well. Maybe because they were losing their status as religious leaders, or they didn't like to hear about their sin. I don't know, but many people rejected him for many different things. And eventually, so many people rejected him, and they were all influenced by the evil religious leaders of that day to turn on Jesus, and the multitudes did turn on Jesus. And his ministry came to an end as they took him to court and put on a false trial to try to accuse Jesus of things that he had never done. Why had he never done these things? He could not sin, that's why. He was God. He was perfect. He is perfect. And so Jesus, the Bible teaches us how the story went, this true story that actually took place over 2,000 years ago, around 2,000 years ago. Jesus went through this trial that they put on in the middle of the night. They kind of went around secret and tried to get this thing forced through quickly so that they could do to Jesus what they wanted to do to him and shut his mouth and silence him forever. And so they put on this false trial. They accused him of things that he had not done. And they eventually got to the point to where they condemned him to death for the things that he was teaching. I hope our country never gets to that point. This is just a side note, but we have people in our country today who are trying to squash religious freedom, and that's very sad. But they did that to Jesus. And, you know, if it happens in our day, we shouldn't be surprised by it, because people don't like to hear the truth. And so this is what took place to Jesus. They condemned him to death. They caused him to carry a cross. He was beaten so bad that he didn't have the strength to physically carry that cross anymore. You say, what's this cross? Well, it was the form of execution that was the Roman form back then. And they condemned him to be executed in that way. And so they took Jesus out to this place called Golgotha, and they were going to crucify a perfect man, God-man, there that day. And they did. You say, why? He was perfect. He never did anything wrong. If they couldn't accuse him truly of anything, then that was wicked, that was evil, that they would kill a man who hadn't committed a crime. You're right. But that was all part of God's plan, that he would be put to death. Because God's plan was that he would come to this earth and be the perfect replacement, the perfect substitute for you and I and every human who has ever lived. You say, why? Because the Bible teaches that we are all sinners. We are all as those little ducklings. We are all without hope. We are all doomed to die. And some of us may be doomed to die sooner rather than later, like those little ducklings. We don't know when the time may come that we may breathe our last breath. But the Bible teaches us that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And so we are all sinners. And the Bible teaches us that because of our sin, we are separated from God for all of eternity. Jesus came to take our place. Jesus came to be that substitute, and he paid the penalty that sin has. For the wages of sin is death, the Bible says. And then it goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible also says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, friends all over here tonight, do you understand that Jesus is the answer for having everlasting life? There's many people in our world today, they are trying to get the gift of everlasting life through their own strength. And the Bible teaches us very clearly that that's not going to work before a holy God. Because all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, it says. All the good things that we could try to do in this life, be kind to a neighbor, buy some groceries for a friend, weed your neighbor's garden, or serve in the at the community center, all the good things that we could try to do, go to church every time the doors are open, they're all as filthy rags before a holy God. Because we are sinners naturally, and He is a holy, righteous God. And so the Bible teaches us that if we try to earn our way to forgiveness, if we try to pay for our own sins by doing good things, it will never pay for the sins. We cannot pay for our sins and earn the gift of eternal life. The Bible says that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And so you see, it's a gift that you must accept. It's not something you can earn. It's not something you can work for. It's a gift that you must accept. So how does an individual accept the gift of eternal life that God in His love and mercy holds out to every individual in the world? How do you accept that? The Bible says you trust. You believe. Okay? The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him," okay? "And so whosoever believeth in Him can have everlasting life." So how does one believe in Jesus? Don't make it complicated, friend. Please understand the simple truth of the gospel, the good news. The truth is that believing in Jesus, trusting in Jesus, is simply depending on Him. Relying upon what He did and not what you could try to do. There's many people in our world, they're trying to depend upon their religion. They're trying to rely upon what men have told them from the Bible instead of going to the Bible and seeing the truth there themselves and realizing, I can't depend upon myself and how good I can be. The Bible teaches I must depend upon what Jesus did in my place. And so I want to ask you, have you ever made that all-important decision in life to depend upon Jesus alone for the forgiveness of your sins? Or are you like so many in our world today who are hoping that they are forgiven before a holy God, hoping that they make it to heaven someday? Friend, you can know for sure that your sins are forgiven tonight by making a choice to depend upon Jesus alone for the forgiveness of your sins. Have you ever made that choice, friend? If not, my heart is that you would make that choice tonight. Because right now, the reality is you are as a little fuzzy yellow duckling in the middle of the road. And there may not be another hour for your life. The Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Don't wait. Trust in Jesus today. But we are talking furthermore how the gospel is ready. And it's the power. What I just shared with you, the gospel, was power. There were words of truth in there that God says have power behind them. And as people hear those words of truth, it convicts them. It causes them to think, you know what? I am a sinner. I have done wrong things. I believe Jesus is the answer. And that gospel has power in it. And so, friends, we need to understand the harvest is ready tonight. But also, the gospel is ready tonight. And then I notice here further that the Lord is ready. God is ready. Notice Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. Again, you don't have to turn there. We'll be trying to finish up here quickly. But Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, which we already read, it says how He was moved with compassion. That was the heart of our Lord. He was ready for the harvest to be gained. He was ready for people to believe. The Bible also says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. And then notice this, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants every single human in this whole world, over 8 billion I believe now, to hear the gospel and to believe in it. To have their sins forgiven as a result and to spend an eternity escaping the flames of hell and in his presence in heaven. God's desire is for that to be for everyone. And so the Lord is ready. The harvest is ready. The gospel is ready. Friend, why may you not be ready? I would like us to finish with these thoughts of why we may not be ready tonight. First of all, I would ask, are you not ready because you are ashamed of the gospel? The gospel is not something to be ashamed of. It is the good news. It is the answer. It's exactly what those little ducklings need right now. If we apply it to souls. Don't be ashamed of it. You say, but people are going to slam the door. I may lose a relationship at work if I talk about the gospel. They may never talk on the phone again to me, a loved one. I don't know what the situation may be. But you say, it just gets me really nervous to talk about the gospel. Friends, let's not be ashamed of it. It is the answer. It is exactly what those souls who are doomed and without hope need. It's exactly what you needed one day. Don't be ashamed of it. And Paul's attitude was, I am not ashamed of this gospel. Is that how you are tonight? Why may you not be ready? Because you are ashamed of the gospel? Another reason why you may not be ready tonight is because you don't know the gospel. Believers here tonight, we need to understand the gospel through and through. It's not just the job of an evangelist to be able to articulate the gospel. Every single believer needs to be able to share the gospel fluently. This may take some academics. This may take some study time. This may take some homework to say, okay, we need to know this verse. We need to know that verse because this is all truths that bring the gospel out together and I can use them in conversation. Friends, we must know the gospel through and through. And tonight you may be someone who would say, I am not ready because I don't know the gospel. It's time to know the gospel. It's time that Faith Bible Church as a whole is a unit together of preaching the gospel and knowing it through and through. Not just some of us, not just a few of us here or there, but all of us must be able to easily articulate the gospel and share it with those whom we love. They need to hear a clear presentation. They need to hear a truthful presentation. And if we don't know the gospel, then that is a fatal error on our part. Do you know the gospel tonight? And then I ask again, why may you not be ready? Is it because you are ashamed of the gospel? Is it because you don't know the gospel? Or is it because your heart does not beat for the gospel? I was driving past those little ducklings and my heart was beating for them. My heart was torn. There they are. They're not going to survive much longer. Does your heart beat for the gospel? Are there times when you look at the souls around you, it causes your heart to race a little bit, causes your heart to beat. That is the burden that your heart has. And you look at those souls and you say in your mind, they need the gospel. Does your heart ever beat for the gospel? I remember back when I was getting to know Elizabeth in Bible college, and we were not married yet, but we were looking forward to that someday. And I'll tell you, my heart beat for her. And every time I saw her, it was exciting to be around her. And much of my life was all centered around that young lady. My heart was beating for her. I continued day to day, day after day, beating for her. And that's what it was all about, you know? You're excited. You're in love. Are you in love with the gospel? Is that what your heart is beating for tonight? Whether that is the feeling of your heart or not this evening, I want to remind us that as believers here tonight, those of you who have trusted in Jesus, that is what you are called to in the Great Commission. That is what our hearts are supposed to be beating for. And now that we've put our trust in Jesus Christ, we have the answer that so many need. We have been given this Great Commission, and that is one of the top priorities that you and I have now. That is what our hearts are to be beating for. That is why God has us here, to be sharing that good news. And so I ask you tonight, are you ready? And if not, why not? Because the harvest is ready tonight. The gospel is ready tonight. The Lord is ready. Why are you not ready? Let's bow our heads in prayer.